Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight, our special broadcast from Madison. I am in Madison tonight, enjoying our capital city. And it is not too late for you to get in on our question of the night. We turn to sports because we're in Madison at UW, tomorrow anyway. Tonight we're at Civic Media. Tonight's question, how far will the Badgers go in the NCAA tournament? We have one Final Four and one they're going all the way. So what do you think? 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. We are on statewide, so just click on any one of the stations, and you can click on the little text icon. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of the whole show. You can chime in on anything, folks. As always, I love to hear from you and love to make you part of the show. Brian Kelly is coming up at 8:35. We're going to talk some acting. He's got some great credits, and we have a lot in common. So I'm very excited to have Brian here and to get to know him better on the air. That's always fun. Like I'm doing with James Runday right now. He's a Madison-based musician and filmmaker hanging out with me here in the studio tonight. So fun to have you here, dude.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Fun to be here.
I will have that last song. It was called Marie's
Fish and Chicken Stand. Fish and Chicken.
Yeah. I'm going to have that in my head. Hey, where can people find out more about the Scratch Offs or you personally? You got a website? You sell your music anywhere?
Yeah. So you can, if you're curious about seeing us live, the best place to check us out is Instagram or Facebook. Both times it's just The Scratch Offs. So like Instagram.com/The Scratch Offs, all one word, no dashes or anything. And that'll get us on Facebook and Instagram are both formatted that way. So that's where we post about shows if we're coming to your town. And then as for finding our music, we're of course on Spotify. And then we also have a Bandcamp page. So if you want to support us directly with your dollars, and buy like a record or a hat or you can, look at our Bandcamp page and purchase that stuff there. Find us at a show. We always have that stuff for sale at our shows.
So that's the best, right?
That's the best way to get it because then you get dialogue with us, the musicians, and you don't have to pay shipping.
That's another another perk. So where can, the show's on statewide. Where do you like to play? What's your favorite venue here in Madison?
So by far the spot we play the most is Mickey's Tavern on Willie Street, right where the Yahara passes through the Isthmus. And that is a stalwart.
I only understood two of those
venue.
Words, by the way.
Really?
I only know what an isthmus is because I spent a lot of time in Madison. I didn't catch the first one.
Mickey's is if you go talk to punk bands in Chicago, they'll have heard of Mickey's. And same with Minneapolis and all, Mickey's is kind of hallowed ground. It's as far as Madison venues go, they've been having live music for a long time. And then if we're doing a show that's bigger than what can fit in Mickey's, we'll play the Crystal Corner on Willie Street. And they've been having live music since probably like the 50s or 60s.
Oh, nice.
They have like all these photos of old blues musicians that played there way back when. So that's kind of your old school neighborhood bar.
Very cool. So what about where else in the state do you like to play? Do you have a favorite in Milwaukee or Green Bay or?
Yeah,
upstate?
In Green Bay, we've played Lyric Room. And I'm not sure. I heard something that Lyric Room in Green Bay might be closing, but that was for a long time. That was the spot to go. Frets and Friends in Green Bay, too. Right. I think is another. I think we played one show there. And then Milwaukee is trickier there. We've played Cactus Club. Didn't have the greatest experience there.
Oh, no.
but
like a Bremen Cafe Blues Brothers type experience. People throwing booze at the chicken
coop.
I'll
just say it's hard to get paid as an amateur musician. And there's a lot of there's a lot of places out there that kind of have borderline scammy arrangements. And can come off, or at least so one thing that was nice about Mickey's is that, touring bands, sometimes you have to tour off nights. Not every night of the week is a Friday or a Saturday.
Right.
So if you can pull, 50 people on a Sunday in the middle of, you know, early March or late February, you know, on a Sunday night, that's a good crowd for a Sunday night, you know? And so you would at least expect maybe you would get gas money out of that arrangement. But, you know, that's not every venue.
Right. So, okay. So in terms of, you're also a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You're White and Lazy, a short you did. It's still one of my favorite shorts I've seen. I it's just hilarious. Where can people see White and Lazy?
YouTube.
All right. Go
and
Google.
And no budge. Yeah.
Go Google White and Lazy on YouTube. And it's just a great, the whole premise is just a guy trying to get his roommates to pay the rent so he can give it to the landlord.
Yeah.
And it's just a great slacker.
Yeah.
Fun.
And if you've lived in a house with a bunch of young, irresponsible other, you know, peers, then you'll feel the main character's pain.
So is, what do you say about Wisconsin as a film community and as a music community?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it thriving more, or are they both really healthy, would you say?
Well, I think music is thriving more. I think that's pretty like without debate in my opinion, but that's because, and the reason Wisconsin's a great place to play music because, and I'll tell you why, really, because the towns and this not Madison and Milwaukee really are supportive. I guess that was my thought is that we earn more money in Green Bay than we did in Milwaukee, so in Stevens Point and all these places are a lot more in La Crosse and just more kind of in Janesville even are more generous with their dollars. I find than even Madison and them. I mean, obviously Madison and Milwaukee have a lot of great bands and there's always creative fuel, but I think what's really separates Madison's music or Wisconsin's music scene is the contribution of like bands from not Madison and Milwaukee,
really,
and especially Appleton and Green Bay, like Catholic Boys and Dusk and Tenement, and all they've had a long tradition of bands from up in the Fox Valley that are really good.
Oh, cool.
So
that's good to know. And I know they probably feel like, or they know they have to pay you to come from mm-hmm. Madison or Milwaukee to come to these towns. And, mm-hmm. And if they're willing to pay, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have you got something else we can
Yeah. Hear? Yeah, I could do a cover. I'll leave it up to
you. Want.
Yeah, would you rather you pick Bob Dylan or Willie Nelson?
What's the Willie Nelson tune?
Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Absolutely Willie Nelson.
Okay.
Yeah, this is James Rennie singing Willie Nelson. This
yeah,
is
we'll
fun.
See if I can hit the notes. Twilight glow, I see her blue eyes crying in the rain. And I knew that when we parted, we never see. Love is like a dying ember, only memories remain, and through the ages I'll crying in the rain. and knows no parting. Blue eyes crying in the rain. Blue eyes crying in the rain.
James Runday. Singing some Willie Nelson, that was great. I love Willie Nelson. He's 90 now.
Yeah, he's still kicking, unbelievably.
They just announced that he was singing with Kermit the Frog the Rainbow Connection song, which is such a great song. It was the first time they ever did it together at the same time. I love Bob Dylan, but I don't know, there's something about Willie Nelson.
Yeah, great.
His voice is so different and cool and...
Mm-hmm.
That was great, man.
He made pot smoking okay. For, you know what I mean? I don't know. He was kind of one of the early... I mean, he was Snoop Dogg before Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
If you think about it. I mean, what did people think? I mean, you lived through the like the 70s and the 80s. Like, what was the vanguard of stoners? I guess Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, Cheech and Chong.
And it was Willie Nelson.
It was just like a taboo thing. You just didn't do that because drugs.
Oh, yeah, of course. And then there was the... I grew up in that era.
But I think we would have got there anyway. But I think Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg, like, you know, fostered it a little bit, maybe pushed it along.
But like, you know, like even conservative types would listen to Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he like snuck under the radar there before other.
Yeah, he did. He's a bridge builder, if you would, whether it's through the
coalition, pop,
whether it's through the weed or through the music. People love the guy. And That was great, man. When you guys play Green Bay, you have to give me some heads up. Or the Fox Valley. You guys will have to come in.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of space up there in the studio. I'd love to have all of the scratch-offs in there jamming out. That would be really fun.
That'd be great. I mean, now it's easier to fit us now that we only got three instead of four.
All right, I got time. Conrad, how are we doing?
We got about a minute.
Okay.
Mm, 1 minute to fill?
Okay. Well, we'll wrap up then, I guess. But.
Yeah, this was lovely to come on. Honestly, I'm excited that you had me in here talking once about movies and second about music.
Yeah.
And so if anybody listened to the songs tonight and really dug what was going on, the name of the band is The Scratch-Offs. I just want to say that one last
check
time
because
I always forget to say
on
that.
Spotify. And James, thank you so much. Look for his music. Look for him playing live. Thanks so much. Coming up in just a few minutes, Brian Kelly. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. That was really fun. Great stuff. Look for James Runday. Just Google him. You'll see his films will come up and look for The Scratch-Offs. He's on Spotify. Check it out. We got some text here. Thank you. Oh, Aunt Carla says, play Baraboo. Love your music. I will pass that along to James and Carla. Thank you. And we'll. I want a taste. If he ends up playing Baraboo, I want a cut. And I'll give you a taste too, Aunt Carla. This is we can... He doesn't have to know where it came from. He's still here. He can hear every word I'm saying. Some more text, too, from the 630. Andrew from Verona. Our question of the night is, how far do you think the Badgers will go in the NCAA tournament? And it's weird. I have not seen an entire Badger game all year, I will admit. This is one I typically tune in because I do love the tournament. And I could see them going very far. I could see them losing in the first round. I just have no idea. But Andrew from Verona says, Badgers prediction, losing to Marquette in the Elite Eight. Womp, womp. He put that in there. I didn't add that. I wouldn't be so bold as to add a sound effect to someone's text. From the 715, first or second round, classic Badgers getting my hopes up. Yeah, I could see that too. That's from the 715. I think Elite Eight is probably more likely, just based on the way they have a little steam from the Big Ten tournament. What do you think, K-Man?
Yeah, so with the Badgers, they get a tough matchup right away against James Madison.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only lost three games this year. Started out 14-0. They play a really, you know, easy conference.
The Big East?
No, they're the Sun Belt, I believe. They're not in the best conference, but don't get it, they're still really good.
Okay. So what do you think?
I really want the Badgers to pull it off, but it's a tough game. James
I
Madison.
I know that, but it sounds like you're picking James Madison, though.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Badgers just because I'm a huge Badgers fan. So I'll go with the Badgers.
Fair enough. I'll say I'm going to kind of wimp out here, and I'm going to say the Badgers will make the Sweet 16. I think they'll get past James Madison. I kind of agree with Andrew. I don't know. I mean, Marquette's got to get there too, but I don't know. That's tough. Yeah, it really it's like the Wild West. Anything could happen. But it would be nice if they had a nice long run. And that is our question tonight. So let us know what you think. How far will the Badgers go in this year's NCAA tournament? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Okay, so this is the day. We talked about Memento was released on this day in 2000. We had bravely survived a Y2K scare, and Memento was released. Justified was also released on this day. This is a show, if you haven't seen it, about a marshal played by Timothy Olyphant, Raylan Givens. And it's such a good show. The show starts off with him basically threatening a guy, saying, because he hates this guy, he's a drug dealer, I think in Miami. And it was like a, it was like the beginning to a show I had never seen before. They were sitting opposite each other at a table at an outdoor cafe. And the actor is a really good actor, too. I can't remember his name. He's a good character actor. And Timothy Olyphant says, you need to get out of town or I'm going to kill you, which is against the law. You can't say that if you're a lawman. But it was just the two of them. And as I remember correctly, the gist of it was the other guy says, you can't just kill me. So he's forced to draw. And Raylan Givens is just faster and kills him. So he got the guy through his words to do exactly what he, that's how the show starts. And then it kind of slows down. But it's a really good show. Timothy Olyphant is, I mean, man, I haven't seen him in too much other than where he plays a lawman, a marshal, a sheriff, whatever. He played, he was in the HBO show with Ian McShane. I'll look it up here. Totally blanking. But he plays Raylan Givens, the U.S. Marshal, and then it gets into his personal life a little bit. It's great. It's a great show. And I have a clip here I want to play for you guys because one of our recent guests, Lance Barber, who I directed in a film that I wrote and directed called The Godfather of Green Bay, was in this scene. And that just kind of cracked me up. Lance is also on Young Sheldon, and they're in their last season right now. So he will be a free agent soon. But it cracked me up because I like Lance is like John Candy. He's funny. He's like this handsome, funny guy, kind of a lovable dude in all of his roles, especially as George Cooper. But in this scene, he plays a heavy and it's great. So we have a scene here. This is from Justified. It's called the Conrad, what's this called? The Final Warning, I think it's called. And two guys are facing off against Raylan Givens. And Raylan's by himself, but he's a quick draw. And these two guys have guns. And I'll just leave it at that.
Hey, Marshall.
Right there is good.
Right, you don't have to listen to him.
You know what? I changed my mind. I'm gonna take you first.
Frank, don't listen to him. We just want to talk to you, Marshall, see if we can work something out.
Can't see as we got anything to talk about, but if you want to say something, you can say it from right there.
Can I come a little closer so we're not shouting like a couple of drunken hobos?
I can hear you.
Well, is it okay if I come a little closer? Is that okay?
You take one more step, I'll shoot you. That's all I'm gonna say.
Marshall, I want to tell you something important. Use it or throw it away. Gonna have to sit here a sec, catch my breath.
Got an ambulance on the way.
That'll be nice.
I warned you twice.
That's Raylan Givens in Justified, and friend of the show and friend of mine, Lance Barber. Lance was the second guy who got shot, and it was kind of cool. He says, use it or drop it. And I was expecting Lance to do the comedic thing, his character that is, and just run. But he actually drew on him and got blown away. So what a cool role to get shot by Raylan Givens on Justified. We'll ask Brian Kelly in just a few minutes if he's been shot in any of his many acting roles. He's a very accomplished actor who does a gig here at Civic Media, too. Just a sharp guy, and I've gotten to know him a little bit. We're going to talk to him about some of the cool roles he's done, and he will be up next. And I'll read more of your texts. How far do you think the Badgers are going in this year's NCAA tournament? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Great texts so far, as usual. Love having you be part of the show. So keep them coming, and we'll keep reading them. Brian Kelly is up next. This is Pete Schwabba in Madison for Nightlight today on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there. They're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night special edition of Nightlight, broadcasting live from Madison statewide. Great text so far, as always. Love when you guys keep me company and let me know your thoughts throughout the show. We are going to pivot here. We focused on music previously. Now we're going to turn to acting, and I'm really excited to have this next guest on. We've talked a little bit over messaging. Well, we both lived in Los Angeles for a while. We've both done some acting, him a little more than me. And he is, he's got some really cool credits I want to talk to him about. And he's also a Civic Media employee, so that's kind of cool, too. It's my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight Brian Kelly. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
It's going really well. You're not Madison tonight, but you're still with me. I love it. Where are you?
I am in Oak Creek. I live out in Oak Creek, which, by the way, is the home of John Matuszak, or the birthplace of John Matuszak. He grew up here. He's, you know, they have a thing in the high school for John Matuszak.
Kidding.
And if you want to know, if you guys don't know John Matuszak, he was Sloth in the Goonies.
I was hoping you went Goonies and talked about his acting credentials before you went Raiders.
Well, he also played for the Raiders, and he was in the movie Ice Pirates with Robert Urich and a very young Ron Perlman.
God, Robert Urich. That is a name. Yeah. I have not heard in so long. I can't believe you just said that name. That's so great.
I live in the home of John Matuszak.
And is that why you moved there?
No, it just happened to
be. Just worked out that way.
It worked out really well. The school system, the place is run by people who like to run, you know, a town in the way that it should.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to make things work and not worry about the rest.
I thought you were lived here now. I know you lived or are from Chicago, as am I.
I choose to be from Chicago. I was born in Hawaii. I've lived all over.
Oh,
I grew
up
in New Hampshire. I've lived in Long Island, New Jersey, Chicago, Michigan, a couple places.
No kidding.
LA. I was a tour manager for a band, so I went across the country twice in the summer. That was fun. But I've gotten to see the whole state, the whole country.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I was thinking maybe I thought maybe you were on the lam or something, but that's even better if you were in the music biz.
In a way, I mean, I did say yes a lot And that that so I may have I but I definitely wasn't on the limb. I was very loud about it while I did it. So
that's awesome. So is civic media your day job or is acting your day job?
So acting's been my background job since 2001. I graduated college with a theater degree and a philosophy minor and got an agent right away. Got a line on a network show, the What About Joan show with Joan Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
That that got me that one line to Joan was the one thing that got me my SAG card. And then it got canceled 4 days before my episode aired.
Oh,
because that was it was going to air right around 9/11. Right after 9/11, when nobody wanted to fly to Chicago, and pretty much all the shows were like, yeah, we're not going to travel anymore.
Oh, that's a, isn't that, I don't think people realize, Brian, like, you know, you're on top for like 30 seconds. You feel great. And then it can, I did a pilot for VH1 about 3 months after I moved to LA. And I was like, oh, this is easy. We shot the pilot. I got to spend 10 days in New York with Jim Gaffigan. We were the two actors. We got picked up for 13 episodes, and a week later I get a call, and I jokingly say, from Jim, and I go, what, did they cancel the show or something? He goes, well, yeah, they did. I was, like, despondent for, like, a month. I couldn't even talk to my wife, and then I have friends of mine are like, dude, that happens all the time.
All the time.
I was like, really?
All the time.
It's horrible, isn't it? I mean, did you still get your SAG card out of that at least?
Oh, yeah. I got my SAG card. I got paid for it and everything. I still get residuals. I think I got 10 cents from overseas play. And I finally saw my episode for the first time. I finally saw the episode for the first time. A fellow Civic employee, Corey Hartman, his son, found it somewhere, downloaded it, and showed. I've never seen it before. I finally saw it for the first time this year ever.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Laura from Family Matters is in it. A whole bunch of people are in that show. It's really interesting just how it worked out.
So, all right. So you've got a really impressive, like I went to your IMDb pro page and you've got some really cool credits. Let's talk first about you've done three Chicago shows with the name Chicago in it, but not Med. Did I see that? But you did Chicago.
I did not do Med.
Okay. So you've done Chicago PD. You've done Chicago Fire. You did a show that I actually kind of like called Chicago Code.
Yes.
I remember seeing that with Jennifer Beals, I believe.
Yes. I got to spend a back room of a bar with her next to me, but we couldn't talk because they were shooting a scene outside. So we just sat next to each other in the back room. I read a book and she read a book and it was fine.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It was just so really surreal because I'm like, I grew up looking at you. Wow.
So what do you like to play? Do you like to play the heavy? You're kind of a big guy.
I like to play what they cast me in. Seriously. Yeah. Honestly, like, because I'm, for those of you, you know, who can't see me, I'm 6'5", 325. Like, I'm a big boy, you know, and I'm like, my frame is just big. And I go out for roles with a lot of the same big guys all the time. So we have like a group of, you know, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Okay, so if they want the big fat guy, that's that guy. If they want the big muscular guy, that's that guy. If they want the big funny guy, it's me. You know, depending on what they need. But, you know, so for the most part, I found that it's hard for a lot of writers to conceive of me. So I generally have to come in as a different angle on a lot of different things, even if it's a big guy type of role type of thing. But I do end up playing a lot of mobsters eventually, and those are fun too. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that just because of how you described yourself. You are a big guy, but you also have this kind of jovial personality. You are pretty funny. Like, that must be frustrating if you only get typecast. Like, what's your favorite kind of role to play if you had your choice?
Oh, I have a lot of fun as a Russian gangster. I've done it a couple times and it is so much fun because I've learned I end up doing a couple of Russian phrases or some stuff like that, and you know it's fun accent, that type of thing. I like it really. I honestly like being a part of a collaborative group. That's honestly, at the end of the day, I don't care what I'm gonna do as long as it serves what we're trying to do as a group. I really get excited about a collaborative show, a show that comes together, and I see the cast kind of hanging out and goofing off, and I see the crew kind of getting together and things. That's honestly, I was on Chicago Fire a couple times, and that set is like that. They have a family kind of feel to it. Like they all kind of have been working together for a while, and it's just, it's great because you come in and you're part of something and you're filling the role. That's what it is. You're playing a role. You're right. Doing the role you're supposed to do. And I find incredible fulfillment in doing what they expected me or wanted me to do, or giving them something that they weren't expecting, but they really wanted. Like that's what gets me excited. It's not necessarily a type, although I do get typecast. It's that I'm giving them what they needed. That's what excites me.
That's a great answer. Where did you go to college? Where did you study theater?
Western Michigan University.
Nice.
If you are thinking about getting into theater at all, I would highly recommend Western Michigan University, as well as something like it. They have no graduate program. So as a freshman, you will come on and have an opportunity to be on the main stage right away. They have an incredible group of teachers. Kalamazoo itself is like a really big arts bastion in the middle of the Bible Belt of western side of Michigan. By the way, if you move there with kids and you have kids that go K through 12 in the Kalamazoo or Portage school system, they get their entire in-state tuition paid for. That's a nice bonus. But the Western Michigan
That's
Theater,
incredible.
Like, their facilities are amazing. The ability to be on stage all the time, and you do everything. I learned stagecraft from top to bottom there. I learned how to put together set. I learned how to do sound. I learned how to do lighting, everything. I had my hands on everything, and it's mandatory to have your hands on everything.
That's so true. I have two nephews and a niece that all went to Michigan because of it's called the Kalamazoo Promise, I think.
Yes,
it is. Where they all get to go to a state-funded school and your tuition is paid for. That's unbelievable.
It's a lot of that is funded by Derek Jeter, who's from Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
And a lot of there's a lot of like the state billionaires kind of end up like the artsy billionaires in the state of Michigan end up in Kalamazoo for the most part. And they fund a lot. They have Kalamazoo College has a really good arts program. So does Western Michigan. And there's a lot of alum that are in. You see the Meg? The guy who played DJ. Big dude, DJ. That's Paige Kennedy. He was he's a rap artist, but he also went to Western Michigan with me.
Wow,
a
nice.
Whole bunch of people from that same era, just still all working in the business, Broadway performers. I got people who were designing stuff everywhere, and our design department at Western was amazing. Still is really, really good talent there. So yeah, I went to
that's
Western.
That's fantastic.
Michigan.
Okay, so let's talk about, you also did two films here in Wisconsin, which I always like to talk about because I feel like we don't have incentives here. I wish we did. I think we should for filmmakers, but they do still shoot movies here. And I've been through that process in Wisconsin too. And it's a great state to shoot movies in. With or without incentives, you get people to help you. It's a great experience, or at least it was for me. What Medal of Victory? Can you tell us about Medal of Victory?
It's kind of an independent movie. It's got bunch of people in it again, but I got caught completely out of it. But I again was playing a mobster in the back of I got to pull out a bat and chase after some people. But that was filmed in right pretty much over the border, and a couple of guys got together, wrote a really funny movie. It's kind of like a little farce type of thing about these guys coming back and kind of conning their way into being they have them. Conning their way into things, and their old man was taken over by the guy who was running for mayor, who's the big town money. It's a comedy farce type of thing, but it's got a lot of fun people in it.
That's really cool. Can we see that somewhere? Is that on one of the?
Yeah, you can rent Medal of Victory. Just look it up and just rent it right away. I'm not in it, but a lot of other really good people are, including the guy who played Simkowski in Rick Russell, I think his name is Simkowski in Office Space. The guy was like, "We're all gonna get fired."
Oh, Richard Reilly.
Jump to conclusions, Matt guy. That he's in that as well.
He's so funny. I saw that he was in that. I didn't realize you were cut, so let's not talk about that anymore. Let's pivot to the other Wisconsin movie.
Show.
But Richard Reilly is a great guy. Reilly. He's got he's originally from Wisconsin. He's got over 400 credits.
Yes.
And I went through a phase, a 6-month period where I was in an indie film with him. Then I interviewed him on public television. And then he was back in my home up in Marinette doing another movie. I'm like, our paths crossed like 3 times in 6 months, and now we're like old buddies. I've had him on this show. In fact, he told a story about being in Casino, how Joe Pesci got him the role. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, he's such a great guy.
He was great in Casino, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And he, and even in Office Space, when, when he jumped to conclusions map. I mean, this is like, it's so great. What about, what's the other one here? I wrote this down. You were in American Gods.
American Gods. They filmed that at House on the Rock.
That's so cool.
My goodness. That was really, because I only had like one role, like one bit part. And it was basically, you know, hey, the park's closed. Moose out front should have told you. Like I even had like the maroon. I even had the khaki vest and everything. And it was, but because it's at House on the Rock, everybody was staying on site. They closed down the entire place, so they had the resort to themselves. When I got there, the director got sick. So I ended up staying at this resort with all the entire cast for like, you know, 3-4 days, hanging out, just Omid Atani. I got to hang out with for a while, talk kids. I got to hang out with Orlando Jones for a while. He's amazingly fun. And just speaking of cast and crew, that's really fun to be around. That was great. And by the way, if you live in Wisconsin or anywhere around Wisconsin, you have to go see House on the Rock.
Yeah.
That place, I can't describe it to you. You have to see it in person. It is amazing. I got to see backstage there. That was great.
That's incredible that you got to spend that kind of time there. Let's let's pick up there. My All guest right. is Brian Kelly. He is an employee here at Civic Media, employee extraordinaire, and he's also a really solid actor, and we're talking to him about his acting roles and shooting in Wisconsin and all kinds of fun stuff, and I want to ask him what he's watching next. That's coming up on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Like Elvis, why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother, 'cause no one partners in crime. Don't be a baby, remember what you told me. Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. Get up and shake the glitter off your clothes now. The night is lit. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday, broadcasting live tonight from Madison, changing things up a little bit, and talking with actor Brian Kelly. Tomorrow night on the show, Roger Rittenhouse, comedian Roger Rittenhouse is here. He writes for Larry the Cable Guy and D.L. Hewley, and Jesse March are my guests tomorrow night on Nightlight. We'll be back in Green Bay. I know Conrad's getting lonely there.
Definitely.
But we've got a few. Are you? I feel bad.
Yeah, I
miss you. I'll bring you... All right. I made a quiche. I'll bring it.
You made a quiche?
A quiche and a bundt cake.
And a bundt. Oh, so nice, the bundt.
All right. That's some good accent work, buddy. Let's say, like, what do you prefer, Brian? You went to this amazing theater school. Do you like live theater or do you prefer film? If you had to choose when it comes to acting.
Yes.
Okay. Any
I
role.
I like them both. No, seriously, I like them both. For different reasons. The best way I can describe why I love theater so much is find on YouTube somewhere. There's a, you know, the show Fences.
Yeah.
It was up for Oscar.
Movie. Yeah.
Movie, but it was a play and done a long time back in the 80s and stuff. So they'll show you the same role, the same scene done by James Earl Jones and then by Denzel Washington. The James Earl Jones one lasts about 5 to 10 minutes, and the Denzel Washington one lasts about 2.5. They do the same exact scenes, the same exact lines, the same exact intentions, and the same exact everything, and it means completely different things and generationally completely different within the context, even though it's set in the same exact era. It's amazing, and that's the exact thing that gets me excited about live theater, because every show you come see is a different experience, even if it's the same show.
Wow, that's a great answer. These answers almost sound rehearsed, Brian. Like
I've told these stories.
I know they're
before,
not,
but I'm not like I'm. Yeah. Just, I'm going with you know what I got here. You know,
that's great. I love it. Okay, so. God, I got so many questions for you. I probably should have had you on earlier. So
that's all right.
All right. Here's what we'll do.
we'll talk about, I want to hear what you're watching.
All right.
But I know we were also, I think we probably were in LA at the same time. You said you were a bartender.
Yep.
And you started to tell me. Yeah. And you started to tell me a story.
Yeah. I woke up one morning with, I looked on either, like I came to out of a blackout. It's not like I woke up. I came to out of a blackout and, both knees were on either side of my head. And, I was in the middle of, adult conversation, as it were, that okay. I ended up like LA was an interesting experience for this guy. Let's just say, remember okay. I said yes a lot.
Yeah.
Some other people said yes at the same time. And that's kind of how that ended up. I had a wonderful LA experience that I remember from what
all
I
right. I don't mean to push you because it sounds like Please. Some of this you can't say on the air. However,
no, you don't want me to, but yes,
I'm trying to picture a guy who's 6'5". Three bills mm-hmm. with his knees on either
I'm
side.
I'm a very flexible man. Like I do stretch a lot, and I played a lot of sports. I lettered in several different sports. I played lacrosse, football, all the different things. Okay. I never really got a serious injury until I was teaching people choreography, and that's when I had to get arthroscopic.
So, you were wearing leg warmers when you had your first injury.
Somewhat. I mean, anything that's on my legs is leg warmers in general, but yeah.
All right. So I guess I'm going to have to get some closure on that story about how your knees ended up on and what exactly was happening off the air at some point.
Yeah, that's okay.
Cause this is more or less a family right. show.
Yeah. Well, let's just say, it involved, a big band instrument called the trombone. We'll move on from there.
All right. My guest is Brian Kelly. He is an actor and pretty good at skirting the issue, I will say. Brian, what are you watching? What kind of TV do you watch? You got anything you could recommend to the listeners?
All right. So I decided to start the MCU universe in chronological order. So that's interesting and long.
Wow.
But
yeah,
good. So that's fun. But I also got into recently Loudermilk.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Livingston and Will Sasso. That is it. So Will Sasso is a really interesting guy. He's on Mad TV and things like that. I was listening to that show and I'm like, that guy has the same voice as Greg Bach from the morning with Matt Hare on air. Same exact voice,
wow.
Same exact delivery, Will Sasso and Greg Bach. But yeah, I'm watching Loudermilk. That's fun. It's about,
great show.
A really, really honest, overly honest guy who runs an AA meeting and the ridiculousness from there. And then I'm waiting. I'm eagerly anticipating The Boys coming back this season four.
My son has been after me to watch that. I did watch the pilot and I liked it. I don't know why I didn't go back to it, but he's on me. That's a good show.
I'm sitting there like that guy looks like a, yep. That is Dennis Quaid's son. Yep, that is
Jack
Dennis,
Quaid. Yeah,
Jack Quaid. That kid he's got that classic Quaid smile. It's like you can't. There's no replicating that. It's just the Quaid's. Oh, that's Dennis Quaid's kid. That's right there.
He had to be an actor. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's a fantastic show, and he's a really good actor. And that show will make you laugh, make you cry, and is disgusting in the same
way. That's it's a very fantastic. Good description. Will Sasso is funny. I love the scene where they reveal that, you know, they're both recovering alcoholics, he and Ron Livingston, and they live together. Yeah. And there's a moment, I want to say it's probably in the pilot, where Livingston turns his back and Will Sasso's having a cocktail.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so great. Hey, Brian, this is really fun. You got to come back. We got to do a deeper dive into not just yoga positions after you drink, but other stuff too, and we'll talk more show. It's fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
And, you asked. I've never been shot. I've had a bottle broken over my head before.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about that next time.
I know you have way more stories.
I got fun, buddy.
All
I
right.
Fun.
Think about the next one when you come on and that you can actually finish, and we'll get into that one next time. That'd be great.
All right.
That's Brian Kelly, actor Brian Kelly, who also works here at Civic Media and is an all-around really cool dude. Hey, this has been a fun show. Thanks so much for being with me. Thanks for your text. Great to have James Rundy. I'd like to thank James. I'd like to thank Brian Kelly. Conrad for holding down the fort at Green Bay. That place better be clean when I get home, young man.
It actually was just clean.
It was just, oh, perfect. Okay.
All right, fantastic. We'll be back tomorrow night at our regularly scheduled time in our regularly scheduled studio in Green Bay. But thanks for spending Monday evening in Madison with me. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin. Take me to